Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
Thank you, Miss Sherry. And let's show our choir and Miss Beth another round of appreciation. Outstanding job. And really gets us into the Christmas spirit. Before we get into our message this morning, I want to just pause for just a moment. And I would ask you to join me in prayer this morning. Our brother Jim Patterson had open heart surgery last week, and as of this morning, he's not doing real well. And so we told Miss Debbie that we would join together in prayer and just lift him and her and the family up this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for brother Jim. Father, we thank you so much that you are, as we sang, heard in song this morning, you're so many things. You're our healer, our great physician, our Lord, our Savior. And God, this morning, our brother Jim needs a healer. He needs a doctor that can touch his body and restore his health. And we're turning to you this morning to do that, Lord. God, we pray that you give him strength. We pray that you would restore the function to his kidneys, help his heart to beat in rhythm. And God, just bring him back to health. God, I pray that you'd be with Miss Debbie, that you give her peace during this very, just a tough time. God, I pray that they'd feel your presence even there in that hospital room this morning, and that you'd be with them through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are just about to the Christmas. We're in the Christmas season, I guess. We're almost to Christmas, and it feels like all of December is the Christmas season, but I can't believe next week's going to be Christmas Eve, and it truly is the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? For a lot of reasons, but the main reason that this is the most wonderful time of the year is because Christmas reminds us just how much God loves mankind. And we're going to turn this morning to another passage in our reading plan. It's not Philippians, it's actually Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. And the book of Hebrews is so deep, and we'll get more into Hebrews next year, but it is a treasure trove of theology and encouragement. And what's really interesting about the book of Hebrews is that we're not really certain who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people argue the Apostle Paul wrote it. Some say Apollos or maybe someone else. But what we do know, and as you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll understand whoever wrote it had a very deep understanding of the things of God. And in this passage this morning here in Hebrews chapter 2, it's going to give us, believe it or not, a deeper understanding of Christmas and a deeper appreciation for our Savior who was born on Christmas. Let's begin with verse 5 this morning. The Bible says this, "For he is not subjected to angels, the world to come that we're talking about, but someone somewhere has testified, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a short time. You crowned him with glory and honor and subjected everything under his feet. For in subjecting everything to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. As it is, we do not yet see everything subjected to him, but we do see Jesus, made lower than the angels for a short time, so that by God's grace he might taste death for everyone, crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. For in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was entirely appropriate that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him. And again, here I am with the children God gave me. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself has suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. That's a long block of scripture there, but there's so much packed into it. And I'm only going to give us 3 points this morning. We will still get out in time to beat the Methodist and Pentecostals to lunch, I promise. But the book of Hebrews sets out, especially this early part, to teach the audience everything that he can about Jesus, especially in these opening chapters. It's dedicated to teaching us about the nature of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And in this part of chapter 2, we really, if you think about what we just read, we get an overview of the gospel itself. As the author discusses and describes, what he's talking about is the incarnation of Christ. It's God becoming a man, or this miracle of Christmas that we celebrate every year. It is perhaps one of the greatest mysteries in the Word. To me, I know there's some things it's hard to understand, but how God Almighty could become a man is one of the greatest mysteries that you'll read about in the Bible. How the Creator could take on the form of the created, or as Charles Spurgeon said, how the infinite could become an infant. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. It's mysterious, but even if we can't wrap our mind around it, I think the Bible is very clear about the reason why, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, why he became one of us. The first is this: he became one of us to die for us. Now, we almost say that so much, it's almost cliche, but I want you to understand, Christ became one of us literally to die for us. The writer describes how man was made just a little lower than the angels. And then man was crowned with, he says, glory and honor. If you think all the way back to January when we began going through the Word together, God created man, and man was literally the crown jewel of God's creation. And God was so proud of what he had made. He was so pleased with what he had made. And man himself was made in the image of God, if you remember. And it was just so, so good. And man was then given dominion and authority over all of the rest of creation. And if you think about it, at that time there were no imperfections in creation. We didn't have to have hospitals to go to or doctors to visit. We didn't have nursing homes because there was no sickness in God's creation. Man did not experience death. Man did not experience the natural pains of this world. See, at that time man was above all of that. But because of man's sin that took place in the garden and then every generation thereafter, that glorious status was revoked. And so the author says, we do not yet see everything subjected to him, to man. Now man is subject to pain, and man is subject to suffering and sickness, as many of us can attest to this week. Man is also subject to death. And so the author tells us that God then allowed the Son, he allowed Jesus, to be made a little lower than the angels for a short time, he says. He became a man, he took on the form and status of a man, and the author tells us it was for a very specific reason. Look in the text what it says. So that he might taste death for everyone. When we celebrate the incarnation, or when we celebrate this miracle of Christmas and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're celebrating one of the most pivotal moments in all of history. See, all those years after Adam and Eve, humanity had been in desperate need for a Savior, but there hadn't been one. No one was perfect. No one could do what Christ came to do. But then when Jesus was born, it's such a grand moment that the angels literally come and they sing. The very heavens announce his birth and his coming because it's really that big a deal. But it's not just a big deal because of the circumstances surrounding his birth. I want us to understand that. Yes, the virgin birth is a big deal. Yes, a person somehow being fully God and fully man is a very big deal. But the biggest deal was that Christ was born literally so that he might die. Now, You say, "Preacher, I don't like to think about Jesus' death at Christmas. We'll save that for Easter." Well, you should. You should think about it. Because Jesus was born so that he could come and deal with your sin and my sin once and for all. And Christmas should be the reminder that God, even God, had a son. As you're sitting around your living room this week with your children and your grandchildren and those precious gifts that God's given you and those babies, think that your God also had a son. And he freely and willingly gave that son for your sake. Spurgeon called the incarnation the very means to our atonement. You have to go through Christmas first to get to Easter. He became one of us to die for us. Secondly, he became one of us so that the Father could adopt us. Hebrews tells us that Christ came to taste death, and I love the language here, and also to bring many sons and daughters to glory. And notice what verse 11 says. It basically says the one who does the sanctifying and those who are sanctified by him all have the same Father. Wednesday night we talked about in our Bible study in here what it means that Christ is our everlasting Father according to the prophet Isaiah. And we noted that for many people the idea of a good heavenly Father is kind of difficult to accept sometimes, because we tend to superimpose our examples of our imperfect earthly fathers on our heavenly Father. And whether we mean to or not, and what we do is we see these imperfections in our own lives of our imperfect fathers, and we just think that God the Father is the same kind of Father, just bigger and more powerful. But what we learn we need to do is to view our earthly fathers through the proper understanding of our Heavenly Father. And folks, our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. He's a good Father, a loving Father, a faithful Father, a Father who will never leave us, he will never abandon us. He's a Father who is slow to anger, who's full of grace and mercy. He's not just sitting there waiting for us to mess up so that he can harshly correct us or smite us. He's a Father who will never abuse us nor neglect us. And Christ came in order to be one of us, to die for us, to take that punishment from the Father that we deserved on himself. Why? So that we get to also be children of the Heavenly Father. There's a story about two brothers in a foreign country, and they grew up together, and one brother went one direction and one brother went the other way. One brother became a Christian, became a good man, had a strong family, was respected in the community. The other brother was the complete opposite. He was always causing problems, always in and out of trouble. And one night, the bad brother, He got caught stealing, and the village, they just had enough of this guy. And so they began to chase after him. They were going to take their vengeance out on this brother. And he doesn't know what to do, so he runs as hard and as fast as he can to his Christian brother's home. And he's beating on the door, and he finally gets his brother awake, and he grabs him in and closes the door behind him. He says, "Brother, they're going to get me this time. They're going to kill me. You got to do something. You got to hide me. You got to help me get out of this mess." His brother looks at him, and he didn't even hesitate. He said, "Tell you what, take off all your clothes." He's like, "What?" He said, "Take off all your clothes, put my clothes on. Hurry up." And the brother began to realize what his brother was getting ready to do. And he pleaded with him, "Brother, no, there's got to be another way." He said, "No, just do it." And with tears in his eyes, he changed outfits with his brother. And the good brother, hearing the mob coming, he says, "No matter what happens, you stay in here." And he goes out into the dark and he closes and locks the door behind him, where the crowd took their vengeance out on the brother because he knew where he was going, but he knew his brother wasn't ready. I tell that story because if you think about it, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Jesus left the safety and the security and the glory of his heavenly home and even his Father's presence. And he put on the Bible teaches that he put on our flesh, just like the brother put on his brother's clothes. Christ came and he put on our bodies, our flesh, and he clothed himself in this mortal body. And he came into our dark world and he took the punishment that we deserved on himself so that we could go to his home and be in the presence of his Father. But also, to allow the Father to adopt us as His own children, that Christ might not only be our Lord, but our brother who saved us. How good does it feel to be adopted this morning? You know, across our nation, there are more than 117,000 children waiting to be adopted. There are more than 8,000 children right here in Kentucky who are waiting for that forever home. But Lord willing, one day they'll find it. And if you think about it, because of Christ, all of us at one point were those children who were waiting, needing somebody, needing a loving, perfect Heavenly Father. And thanks be to Christ that now we have a forever home with Him in heaven. Lastly, Christ became one of us to rescue us. The author says that He had to be like us. He had to be like His brothers and sisters in every way, essentially so He could become this mediator between God and man, or so that He could make atonement for our sins. The Bible says He was like us in every regard. And you have to look back over Christ's life and you realize He's experienced everything that we'll experience. Jesus knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to feel betrayed. He knew what it was to lose someone that you love. He knew what it was to dread death. And He even knows what it's like to be tempted. And now He's able, I love the word that the author uses. It's very simple in the English. He's able to help us, to help those who are tempted, because He Himself, the Bible says, was also tempted, but He never once sinned against God. Because He was like us, only perfect, the author says He can help or rescue, or we might even say this, He can save us. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life that I've needed someone to save me. I've needed some help. I've needed somebody to rescue old Tyler from the mess that he was in. And there's been plenty of times that I haven't even had the right words to say. I haven't had the perfect little sinner's prayer to pray. And I haven't really known what should come out of my mouth other than, God, I need You and I need Your help. And guess what? Every time I've been in that situation, when I said that, God came to my rescue. Verse 15 says that through His life and His death that He's able to also free us, to free those who had been held in slavery. You say, Pastor, I've never been enslaved. I've never been held captive by anything or anyone. I've never been addicted to anything. I've never been just in bondage to anything in this life. Well, notice what he says. He says, you were held in slavery by the fear of death. So even if you don't realize it, and even if you've been one of these folks that never really even feared death itself, you were once a captive. The Bible teaches that you were, whether you realized it or not, enslaved to sin and to death, because the wages of sin are death. And apart from Christ, death is the final answer. Death has the authority over you, and you are its slave. And maybe you're still enslaved this morning to sin or something else. Maybe it is fear or something else that just got a grip on you that you can't seem to shake. But because of Christ, and because of Christ being born of a virgin, as this passage walks all the way through it, living a perfect, sinless life, dying for your sins on the cross, defeating death and the grave, and rising victoriously, you can be free this morning. He can help you. He can rescue, and He can save you. And that's kind of where this whole Christian journey begins, with you just, it's kind of like falling off a ship and trying to doggy paddle for your life, and you just aren't getting anywhere. And all of a sudden, you cry out for Jesus, and He, just like Peter, He pulls you up out of the water, and He saves you. Maybe you don't know the right words to pray. Maybe you don't even know what kind of help you really need this morning. But you know you need some. I remember, and I'll never forget it, when my baby boy got saved, I was prepared to lead him through this beautiful sinner's prayer. And before I could even say, Easton, repeat after me and say these words, he started praying out loud, Lord, save me. And guess what? The Lord saved him that day. And He can do the same to you. Folks, it's that simple, but we make it so complicated. I'm so thankful that Christ gave it all up and took on this body. to become one of us so that we could be like him in glory. Would you stand with us as we close in prayer? Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for this incredible part of the year where we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Lord, what a reminder it is that you love us. Lord, in spite of our many failures and our sins and our flaws, you love us. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't expect us to get fixed first. Thank you, Lord, that you realize we can't do this ourselves, and that's exactly why you sent Jesus. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that they're in that boat, Lord, I just feel like they're out there doggy paddling, trying to keep their head above water. God, this morning, help them to cry out to you. God, if there's someone that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd save them today. God, for someone that's going through stuff in life that's just so heavy, let them know they don't have to carry that burden alone this morning. That Jesus will shoulder it. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we sing a song of invitation, if you'd like to come and pray, if there's someone in your life you'd like to pray for, why don't you come as we sing?
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Be seated for a moment. Got a quick video I want to play for you. Take just a minute. Just a friendly reminder, we're kicking off D groups again at the first of the year. And anybody can get plugged into one. You just got to make sure that you let us know. There's sign-ups again in the foyer, also in the Welcome Center. And if that don't work, just let somebody know, because we believe so strongly in these D groups and how impactful they are. Watch this testimony.
Thanks for listening to the weekly sermon podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.